Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And good morning from Hawaii. It's still Saturday, April 30th, and this is the Golf Club. We're online if you'd like to listen to it anytime you didn't catch the whole show. You want to hear something over again, radiogolfclub.com is where you go. Thank you for stopping in to the clubhouse and joining us this morning. And I want to thank the people who make the show possible. Without these people, I wouldn't have a golf show. I've been doing this for 13 years now. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal, commercial kitchen design, and fabrication. Excellent service, expert knowledge, work, and product. You can depend on Alakai Mechanical 24/7. These guys show up 24/7, and they know what to do. Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection, get the star team on your property, whether you need it for a shopping center that you own or a residential community that you want patrolled, or you're putting on a huge event and you need security. Star Protection. Moon Physical Therapy, doctor recommended and insurance approved. They achieve results at Moon Physical Therapy, and you can listen for Moon Physical Therapy warm-up tips with Julie Moon. Poipu Bay Golf Course. The number is 742-8711. Special values and packages at Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. It is open and it is playing beautifully from tee to green. And of course, you know, they've just redone all the greens. They closed the course completely to do it. And it's just gorgeous now. Right now they're working on the Prince Course. One of my favorite courses. Be careful, Danielle. Joining us this morning, first off, Larry Gilhooly, USGA Green Section, Director of Northwest Region, just back from 227 holes in 10 days in beautiful Ireland. And what did you say? You played golf the way it should be played?
Yeah, every time I go over there, this is my third time to Ireland, and really the first vacation I got a chance to play golf. And it's golf the way it should be. The ball rolls dramatic distances, and it's all about the short game around the greens. Incredibly difficult, incredibly frustrating. But I think everyone in Hawaii, anywhere in the U.S., that would be pretty similar, maybe not climate-wise, but the wind and the factor of the wind is just amazing. We were lucky enough to go 10 days. We had one hole of rainfall. The rest of the time, it was beautiful.
Wow. One hole.
It just
rained right there.
Being Irish, I knew that they were looking down nicely on me.
It's kind of like Hawaiian. When it rains on you, it's a blessing. And it happened at Ko'olina, and it was so funny because the horn blew, and it was a beautiful sky for everybody except for, I think it was the 14th and the 15th hole. And it was a torrential downpour, and the girls everywhere else were going, "What's wrong? It's great." And this was when the LPGA was still playing at Ko'olina, so it was quite a moment. So I understand exactly what you mean. It was raining on one hole. They actually had to stop play over in, where are they playing right now? The European Tour. Lovely. I love the fact that they're everywhere. They're at the Blackstone Golf Course, the Ballantines Championship, and one of my favorite players, Miguel Angel Jimenez, is in the lead with Brett Rumford. And let's see how Dustin Johnson, this is one of his first forays into a foreign country. Now, he's doing okay. He's tied for fourth. Dean Wilson, Hawaii's Dean Wilson, tied for fourth on the PGA Tour. Unfortunately, just to let you know, Michelle Wee did not make the cut this week at Avnet, and neither did Kimberly Kim, who's in her first year on the LPGA Tour. It was a difficult cut. I mean, Yanni Tseng didn't make the cut, so apparently it wasn't easy. It must be very difficult not playing consistent, you know, all the time, just having so much time off and then having to gear up again. But let's get to Larry. And, you know, when you were talking to us at Ko'olau the first time I met you, I was spellbound. You have a way of speaking to people with a conviction. You're light years ahead of most of the people who are in the golf business, as far as I'm concerned. When you were talking about What people expect when they come, for instance, to Hawaii, they expect to find at the golf course great weather, great service, great views, and green grass. And everybody at the Ko'olau conference went, oh, yes, you know, we got to smile more. You said, you know, cut back all the vegetation. It just, you know, it's growing up too much. But then you came back again at Ko'olau. And from Ko'olau, we went to Ko'olina for the Hawaii Golf Conference. And you shocked everybody there because you said, you know what? We shouldn't water quite as much. Golf courses don't have to be in these championship conditions. They don't necessarily have to stay green.
Yep.
Some of the guys were like, what?
Yeah, it's a hard one for American golfers.
Yeah.
No matter where you're located, it's a hard one, but it's true.
What is the position of the USGA green section now about the watering, and why shouldn't we always have championship conditions?
Well, first of all, they're separate things, but for our championship, if you want to have true championship conditions, virtually, other than the players on the tour and the highest elite players in the world, are the only ones that can really handle true championship conditions. When I say championships, I'm talking about a U.S. Open or any of our 13 national championships at amateur level. It's incredibly firm. Golf courses are very fast. The roughs are very deep. It's very difficult to play those conditions. And yet, unfortunately, on the male side, it's just under 5% that are 5 handicap or less. On the female side, it's well under, I think it's 10% or 2% or 3% are under 10 handicap. And yet, I find golf courses, private, public resort, that are set up incredibly tough at green speeds that are way beyond the average player. So what that does is economically, it slows down your golf course, and it's just not, doesn't make good business sense. On the subject of green, when you think about it, and this is why Ireland is such a great example of the direction we really should be going with the cost of golf. And that's really what I'm talking about. And the reason that 3 or 4 years ago at Ko'olau, the cost of golf and the economy was still going, and now it's changed rather dramatically. To get green, you have to have two key factors. You got to have ample fertilizer, and you got to have ample water, and both of those things are not cheap. And if you have both of those, then you have to take care of it, which means you have to have ample staff, and that's not cheap. And in Hawaii especially, the cost of labor, the cost of water, electricity, it's too expensive. And the game should be based on fun. It shouldn't be based on color. So that's kind of the philosophy we as the Green Section staff have. Although we believe our championships should be firm and fast, we also believe that green should not be the focus, that fun should really be the focus. And that's kind of where we stand as far as from a business side.
Okay, I was using, when you were talking about Ireland and the courses there and the short game being so difficult, somebody I was talking to about this subject, I said, you know, when you tee off and it's 400 yards, for somebody who's like a regular, you know, recreational golfer, if you're lucky to hit 150, 200 yards, the ball stops because, right, the fairway is receptive to the ball stopping.
Correct.
But in Ireland, like you said, the ball goes and goes and goes, so you get a whole bunch more roll.
Yeah.
Yay!
400-yard hole in Ireland is a short hole, and it's you have to hit it straight, though. That's the key.
Ah.
And then once you found your ball, hopefully on short grass, now you have the challenge of getting it into the hole, but you better not fly it on the green because it's going to bounce over. And the beauty of Ireland, again, is the color. Some of the courses were green because they'd had some rain, but most of them were way off color, weeds around. Not the size weeds you find in Hawaii, but they're still weeds. And I talked to the superintendents over there at various courses, and their staff for 18-hole golf courses, a standard size course maintained, ranged anywhere from 4 to 7 people. Now, try to do that at any course in the U.S., and you'll have difficulty. And the way they do it is they just don't fertilize. And the other trick over there is they don't have trolleys or buggies. They have pull carts they call trolleys, but the buggies, they don't have power carts over there. And so the damage done by power carts, it doesn't exist. And it's all people walking. And so again, they don't fertilize. If you don't fertilize, you don't have to mow. If you don't have to mow, you don't have as many, people maintaining the golf course. So their primary focus is on their greens and their tees, and the fairways just kind of let them go.
Let them go.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, they let the sheep come in and nibble away, right?
Well, we didn't have any sheep, but Lynch has some goats that are hanging around.
Okay.
There were no sheep.
Okay, so goats. Thank you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Waipu Bay and Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. We're talking this morning with Larry Gilhooly. He is with the Green Section, USGA. I imagine whenever there is a championship tournament, like, for instance, at the Congressional, you will be called to service with Mike Davis and the rest?
Well, actually, we have eight different regions that service the U.S., and I'm in the Northwest region, so if the U.S. Open is in my region, then I'm very involved. Right now, Mike Davis is working with our guy in that area, Stan Zontek, and very involved. My involvement with the U.S. Open will be coming up in 2015 at Chambers Bay.
Chambers Bay, beautiful. Okay, yeah. You were talking about Chambers Bay at the presentation that you gave us at Ko'olau, at Ko'olina, rather. Let me just backtrack a bit, because managing players' expectations and helping a golf course educate the regular population of golfers that plays, and then having the people who play regularly and they're very, very good, let's say that top 5% that we were talking about. According to the National Golf Foundation, what, 26% of the golfers regularly break 90. 26% guys break 90, okay? So if you're going out there and you're not breaking 90, it's not a problem. You're with the 74% or so. And then the only 5% break 80. So there's a really small population of people who actually benefit from the courses and all the money that goes into them. But people still have these expectations. They have expectations that it's going to look a certain way, and the golf course managers and superintendents and I guess the pros, they probably want it to look that way. How do you educate people to expect different conditions?
Yeah, it's a challenge because, again, it's diametrically opposed to what golf is. And golf is a game for the ground, and it should be played on the ground. And that's why, again, I go back to the roots of golf. Over there, they could care less. Over here, it is a business, and color is very important to golfers, and especially new golfers. They think that's part of the package, and they aren't concerned as much about playing conditions as they are about the pretty green color. And it's a hard challenge to try to educate people. I think we're getting a little bit better. Getting the word out. I know that the U.S. Open, the U.S. Amateur, our championships, we're trying to stress the importance of backing off a little bit, backing off the water and backing off the fertilizer to try to play the course a little bit firmer. And, you know, Hawaii is different because it is a resort destination, and people do come there with very high expectations of beautiful green color. The nice thing about Hawaii is that it's probably the ultimate destination for what I call heads-up golf. And there's two types of golf. There's the locals at any course will usually play heads-down golf. That is, they'll look at their course and their heads down so they see all the imperfections and get kind of grumpy when they miss a putt or hit a bad shot. But the people that visit, they're all heads-up players. They're looking at the vistas. And part of the vista is those green fairways all striped up pretty. But that doesn't really make the course play any better. It actually, in my opinion, makes it play a lot longer, a lot more difficult.
Okay. When you were talking about Chambers Bay, isn't that a public course?
Correct. It's a municipal. Pierce County owns that golf course. Uh-huh.
Okay. And the difficulties you had, what did you do? You're already preparing. I mean, when you talk about a championship, you are already preparing that course for the Open.
Yeah, we started actually about the time we said we decided we want to have the Open there, which was 3 years ago. But we're really into preparing it right now for 2015. We had the U.S. Amateur there this past summer, and for those who don't remember, it was pretty stark, and you can't go as far as we went with that golf course in Hawaii. We took a relatively, it's a fescue grass that has incredibly deep roots, and we knew that we could shut the water off that thing and the grass would go brown, but it won't die. It's just going dormant. It's going taking a rest. And immediately after the championship, and we had the temperatures up into the 90s, we went for just about 10 days, no water. And as soon as they put the water to it, the grass bounced back. So it was all about firmness. And with that grass, you can do it. You do have to be careful with Seashore Pass Phalen over in Hawaii. Taking it too far, it won't bounce back. Bermuda grass, you can do it. You can dry that grass down and get a lot of roll on it. But Chambers Bay is just a little different site. And we certainly didn't prepare that course for TV, that's for sure. But I've got a lot of kudos from around the world, especially from the Great Britain and Ireland, and just that we finally got an amateur right.
You got
brown.
That's great. You guys finally got one right over there in the U.S.
Yeah, we've done pretty good with some other ones, but that one, it was fun. It was very fun to be involved with that championship and just the difference in preparing that grass, which is, again, I have to emphasize to everyone, that's a different grass than what everybody has.
Okay, that was fescue. Fescue can handle it. So if you're listening someplace on the mainland or internationally, you know, that if you have fescue, you could do that. You could let it go for a while as... Our Larry Gilhooly, who knows these things, is telling us. You had problems, though, with the municipality, didn't you? About letting it go so brown? Weren't they very upset about that?
Yeah. The fun part of it was educating them. And they knew. They knew what they were getting into with the grass in advance. But it was a couple weeks out, and we started to dry that thing down. And right next to the golf course was a perennial ryegrass. Very dark green grass that requires a lot of water in a big park. And so from up above, you could see the two differences to begin with. And some folks wanted us to keep it green, and those folks didn't win the battle.
Oh, good.
We had to take it firmer, and we had to shut the water off. And again, this golf course is built in a sand/gravel pit that every golf course in our area has been top dressed with or has been built out of for the past 50 years. So it was kind of a nice site to go firm with since it was all sand and up to 100 feet of sand, pure sand underneath it.
I want to see it. I want to be there. 2015.
It's pretty special. I'd encourage everyone in Hawaii, when we have that Open 2015, I know that Southern California is maybe closer, but the one in Seattle is going to be special, and I encourage everybody to come to it because it's going to be a lot of fun and completely different than any U.S. Open we've ever held.
Wow. Okay. Now, when you have people getting ready for these major championships, You're talking about watering. To really create championship conditions, you need to hand water?
Yeah, correct. One of the standard lines that the superintendents and we always share with folks is if you're not hand watering, you're probably over watering. And what I mean by that is that no automatic system can do as good of a job as someone on the end of a hose can do with their eyes and their computer that is a brain. And you can see it. You know, you can see when something needs water. And the problem we have with irrigation systems is they, there could be multiple heads or even individual heads coming on. And the superintendents face a difficult challenge to irrigate the right amount of water and not overwater. And what we call is a wet spot water philosophy, that if superintendents were allowed to only use the automatic system so that they could avoid wet spots, then they would end up with a lot of brown spots on the golf course, and then you supplementally water that with hoses. Well, that takes staff.
Yeah.
And so in Hawaii, it's very difficult for the guys over there. I give them kudos for what they've been able to do, because the staff sizes used to be quite a bit bigger, well over one person per hole, and they're now down to, in some cases, a half a person a hole. And trying to keep up, it's nearly impossible without hand watering to get it right. So it's a very difficult task.
Yeah, and when you do these championship, you see it on television, you're watching on television, and I'm trying to manage our expectations here. This is kind of a managing our expectations show. When you watch on television, you see it's glorious, right? Well, what have they done? They've gone out and got, 100 volunteers to help the regular staff?
I can't answer for the PGA Tour because I'm not involved, but I can answer the last year. I can answer for the Senior Open at Sahali, which was in the Seattle area. And if you watch that, those of you that watch it, I quite often tell people you have very nice trees in Hawaii, but we have professional trees in the
Pacific Northwest. Yes, you did say that. Yes,
and we have very large trees and a lot of them. And Sahali is just a golf course that was built inside of a forest. But all Poa annua, and that is a very shallow-rooted plant. And Rich Taylor and the staff there were irrigating lightly with the automatic system going into that championship in July. And then it came to the point, okay, we've got to shut it off. So we shut off the entire irrigation system. And essentially for the two practice rounds in the championship, or three practice rounds in the championship, about a week, it was almost 100% hand watering. So we had a crew of 40, I believe the number was, and about 20 or 30 more volunteers that came out to help. At Chambers Bay, it was much larger than that, and we expect in the U.S. Open, no question, we'll have probably at least 100 volunteers. And that's how you can hand water a golf course, is by having that many people that come out and help and do the menial, the less difficult task of maybe hand raking bunkers or sweeping fairways or filling divots, all the little things. And then the staff that's trained, they do the hand watering. That's how you do it. That's why when I tell people you can't do championship golf all the time, you don't have the staff size to do it. It's just a lot of people involved with the setup of a national championship.
Okay, and if you missed this at the beginning of the show, we were also talking about how a championship course actually makes it more difficult for the regular golfer to play. Why is that?
Well, it's above the ability of that course. The ability of the player cannot match what's there for the golf course. They're going to take so many shots. And it isn't. You start with the greens. That's where the focus is. The greens are going to be too fast for the average player, and they're going to be too firm. So the average player hits a ball onto a championship green. They cannot stop the ball. They can't implement spin. The ball is going to bounce off. Now they're into phase two. Phase two is they're in the rough, and they don't have the capability to hit flop shots or the types of shots that can stop a ball on a green. And so now the ball is going over the green back into phase two and back into phase two, and back and forth they go, and it slows down the game. We haven't even started with the tee shot.
No, right. You
better hit the fairway, because if you don't, you're in phase three, which is the deep rough. Although we do have graduated roughs, so if you miss it by a little, you can find your ball 2 inches. But if you miss it by a lot, it's not a pretty sight, and it's a chop-out for average players. So it's just too difficult for their ability. And I'm I say this to single digits all the time, I'll put the best players, non-tournament players, around in championship conditions, and we do it at the U.S. Open. You see it. The deal where the four people go out and play and try to break 100?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That's a very good lesson.
It is. And that is true championship conditions. And yeah. I'm not saying we don't set up all our championships that difficult, but the ones we set up, they're tough. And
you know
I've
what?
I've tried to play them, and I play nine, and I've had enough. It's hard.
You know what? When you said we don't try to make it difficult, I know a whole bunch of people who would beg to differ with you.
Oh, I'm sure they would, and we welcome them to play well enough to get into one of our championships and give it a shot. I got to play in one once, and oh my, it's a different perspective when you're inside the ropes and actually playing than it is watching it.
I bet. Well, you certainly do challenge. I mean, you know, your goal is to make sure that they don't break par.
Now, our goal is for the U.S. Open, and you've heard it many times, is that our challenge is to find the best player.
Uh-huh.
They better hit it straight, and they better have a very good short game. That's the challenge.
You're the best. Larry Gilhooly, thank you so much for being on the show, USGA Green Service. By the way, you do have a Twitter. It's called Green Service. Green Section. Excuse me. Green Section.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. You told me something cute. Just us old fogies don't have a Twitter account.
Yeah, well, some of us. That's right. Daniel, thank you so much for giving me a chance to talk with everybody.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And I hope we'll talk again.
Okay.
Yeah, have a great rest. After how many holes?
227 in 10 days.
In 10 days. In Iceland.
And as I said, the power of Guinness to revive oneself
is
really good.
Bravo. And we say go have a massage.
Thank you.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Need a good plumber 24/7? Alakai Mechanical has the best, from design to installation to maintenance. If you need more than a quick fix, get it repaired by the team at Alakai Mechanical. Whether you're in a home, restaurant, office building, or shopping center, your plumbing has to work. Alakai's world-class plumbing technicians use quality parts to keep your water and sewer lines working properly. Protect your investment. Licensed and insured. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. Your plumbers on call.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor link. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
You could play a round at Poipu at 9 o'clock or 10:40, and the Atlantis Group and Alaska Airlines team is going out, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Also on Kauai, they're having a skins game this afternoon at Puakea. If you just want to play, there's a 10:03. Good morning, Bob Bupka. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you, Danielle?
Excellent. Excellent. Just so glad to talk to you when you don't have to rush off. I always look forward to these times in your schedule when you're not doing 14 other radio shows at the same time.
Yeah, no, you're right. I really enjoy it. It has been nice talking to you. I'll talk to you soon. No, I'm just kidding.
It's great seeing you. Bye.
It is great when we don't have to rush. At the majors and some other events, it does get a little crazy.
It does. Now, I want to talk to you about this one of... You know, there's always some issue that people are talking about, and right now it happens to be, does the number one golfer in the world, that ranking, really mean anything anymore? We have right now, Lee Westwood is number one. He's never won a major. Does that mean he's really the number one golfer in the world?
I don't think you have to win a major to be the number one golfer in the world. I mean, if you want to carry it to its extremes, let's say that four different people won the four majors, and then one player won every other event that year, certainly he'd be the number one player. And, you know, winning a major is great. It's the benchmark which most careers are measured by. But the number one ranked player in the world means the guy that's been playing the best probably for the last year or so, and that certainly has been the case in Lee Westwood's situation. Hasn't won a major, has come close, probably will win a major, but I don't think the world number one ranking and winning major championships are one and the same.
Okay. So Martin Keimer's dad was right when he said, I better come over quickly and see you because you may not be number one when I see you again.
Yeah, well, it's very volatile right now. And you know what happened? We're all guilty of it, Daniel. For so many years, when Tiger held that number one ranking, we never even talked about it. It wasn't a discussion point because his lead at number one was so huge. Most of us felt, well, he'll be number one until he finally retires. And then, lo and behold, the events that have transpired have changed that. And there's so many good players right now that, you know, any one of Luke Donald could end up number one this week. You know, Lee Westwood certainly could remain at number one. Martin Keimer has a chance of coming back. We thought that Graham McDowell probably would be making a move towards that. He didn't play well here in New Orleans this week, but you know, it's wide open. It is a wide open situation. And I don't even know if that's really good for the game. I mean, maybe now it's, you know, too many players are becoming number one, so it kind of loses its impact.
It loses its luster. What do you think of having the points over 2 years? Do you think the points and the whole system needs to be overhauled?
Well, that's a good question, and it's been talked about a lot. You know, if it, over a two-year period, you generally get a pretty good barometer. But the problem with that, it takes a long time. If you play really good 1 year, you can play really lousy the following year, and it takes a while before the bad performances knock off the good previous performances.
And Tiger Woods is the perfect example of that.
Yeah, he's absolutely a perfect example. I'm glad you brought that up. I was thinking along the lines, you know, when you win the Open Championship, you're called the Open Champion of the Year. And I think maybe, you know, all year we have a race to be the number one player in the world. Whoever it does enough to become the number one player in the world at year's end, for the following year, he's the number one player in the world. And then the next year, we you know, evaluate and add up the score again to see who's going to be the number one for the following year. I haven't heard any arguments against that. Of course, there might be a million reasons why they don't do that. But to me personally, that seems to make a lot of sense, where a guy would earn the spot of being the number one player in the world, and he'd be able to keep that title for a year.
Huh. But then that would, all right. But every tournament, every event around the world is given a certain number of points. So if you would then at the end of the year add up all the points and then say, okay, this year, kind of like NASCAR, last year's player of the year or driver of the year was so-and-so, Dale Earnhardt, for so long, right? And then, okay, he's driver of the year for a whole year, and then during all the races and the points add up and the points add up, and then at the end of the year you say, okay, we have a new player of the year because look how well he did this year.
That's exactly right. I don't see anything wrong with that. It would be the same way it is now, but it wouldn't change. Now it has the possibility of changing on a weekly basis. It would be something over the course of a year, so it would be contemporary, and then we have the number one player in the world, and until he loses that title or regains you know, retains that title the following year.
Oh.
So
oh.
Put it in under Daniel Tucker's suggestion. That way, if it goes through, I'll be quick to say I was the one that told you. And if it doesn't go through, then you're going to take the blame.
I love it. Yes, the rookie in Hawaii was right. She didn't know what she was talking about anyway. Hey, now what about all these different events having different values and the field affecting the value of the event?
It's the only way you can do it. And, you know, the more, the stronger the players you have in your event, the more points that event has to be worth. There was never really much consideration to that, you know, when predominantly the strongest fields week in, week out were always here on the United States PGA Tour. Now that's not the case with so many great European players playing and other players from around the world. When they go to play in the Middle East or where they go to play in Korea, the strength of that field is a lot stronger in some instances than a PGA Tour stop. Which never used to transpire, but it happens now on a regular basis.
So do the points adjust automatically? Okay, so the European Tour stops are earning more points, because I thought Lee Westwood only earned like 10 points for his victory.
The actual number of points is so complex that it'd be easier to figure out how to build a nuclear bomb, but, you know, basically it's just the fact that, you know, the more good players that are in your field, if you win that event, then you receive an equitable number of points. So it really doesn't matter where you're playing. It still would be, you have to collect more points than everybody else at the end of the year, and then we add them up, and we see who the world's number one for a year is.
Yeah. Okay. And then, but we'd have to have separate points over the period of a year for those events like the Masters and Bay Hill, the events that they just invite people to, because those.
No, you're right. There would be different points. But still, it's all based on the number of quality players that are in that tournament. To make it easy, if you had one player in the top 50 in your event and you win, that would be worth 10 points, for argument's sake. If you had 10 players in that top 50 in that event and you win, it'd be worth 50 points. I mean, you can make it pretty easy so that the average fan can follow it.
Oh,
I mean, the players now, Danielle, have no idea, what they're going to be. There are some cases, believe it or not, that if you don't play, you have an opportunity of moving up in the world ranking by not playing. I mean, that's how ludicrous it is.
Okay. I think it was Golf World's John Feinstein came up with the idea, or at least he was credited with this idea. Who knows? Maybe somebody did the same thing to him.
He probably stole it from somebody. I know John very well.
Okay. He suggested the ranking should be divided into two categories. The top 25, like college football and college basketball, and everybody below the top 25. And the computer, based on that year's play, decides the top 50, the top 100, et cetera. But the top 25 would be decided by a poll of golf experts. Like 70 people at the start of the year would be selected, ex-players, but they couldn't be playing, not even on the senior tour. Writers, broadcasters like yourself, you know, you'd be all chosen. You guys would vote on Sunday, and then the top 25 players would be announced on Monday, like they do in other sports. What do you think of that?
Well, I kind of like that because I could be bored. I mean, if a player called me up and wanted my vote, I'd be quick to give it to him. I don't think, you know, it's got to be, strictly mathematical, the strength of the field and a certain number of points awarded. You can't go into one guy thinking that this guy's better than that guy. Number one, if every one of the people that were going to vote were at every event and saw the players play every every time, then that's one thing. But we all know that that's not going to be the case. So, you know, and what you see on television is, you know, you don't get an opportunity to see everybody that's playing in the event. So it makes it very difficult along those lines to make an equitable judgment.
Just imagine, you know, all the different things. I mean, if you didn't vote for somebody, would you get an interview with them?
Right.
You know, yeah. And then the other, the equipment companies, they might like to get involved too, right?
Sure. So
they lobby, you know, different people because...
if that tailor-made player has a chance of being number one and there's a set of tailor-made clubs at my doorstep, you know, I might be inclined to think that guy was a hell of a player. I might have to vote to him to be number one.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break and we'll be back. You have time for a break this time, right?
I do have time.
Okay. All right. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting. Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. Beth Ann Baldry from Golf Week is going to be joining us soon. And in the meantime, we're solving the world problems, golf's world problems. Actually, I find it absolutely in hysterically funny that Donald Trump wants to play golf with the President of the United States for the President position. Take on Barack Obama. And then he talks about how good his handicap is. It makes me it just laugh. I can't believe that he's actually still speaking. I'm Donald. So, let's take on this one. Bob, how are we going to save the heritage?
Well, I sure hope so, Danielle, and I'm glad you bring that up. Steve Wilmont, the tournament director there, does an outstanding job. The community just loves the game, and they come out and really support it. It's just not a big corporate area, and it makes it difficult for corporations that would become the title sponsor to bring in, you know, either their key customers or key vendors or whoever they want to bring in and provide enough for them to do besides the golf tournament. That's really why there's huge discussions underway right now with Tucson and Accenture. They're coming back there in 2012, but Accenture brings in people from all over the world, and how many times can you take them for a walk in the desert and keep them happy? So it's a hard thing, but in answer to your question, I certainly hope that the Heritage remains on the schedule. It's a great event. The players love it. It was a wonderful spot on the schedule where play the Masters. It'd be about a two and a half hour nice drive up to Hilton Head, and you could really decompress. And it doesn't look good. The longer it goes, you know, if there was no announcement during tournament week, that's always a kind of a bad sign. And then the other indication, Danielle, is the fact that Michigan and Detroit, with Cadillac, very interested in getting another event besides their World Golf Championship event down in Miami. So they're anxious for one. There are very few dates available. I'm sure that they would scoff up the opportunity if the Heritage goes away. But let's hope for everybody that loves the game of golf that the Heritage remains.
Yeah, well, I certainly do. I mean, can't Fincham twist some arm someplace, somewhere, somehow?
Well, they would think, and I actually just sent him a text message in listening to all the commercials on your show that I thought that Danielle Tucker might want to sponsor that PGA Tour event down there.
Yeah, I'd pay for my time. These people just make it possible for me to be on the air, and I want to thank them very, very much.
You've got great sponsors,
yes, they are.
And you do a great job.
They're wonderful people, wonderful people. Beth Ann Baldry is joining us. Beth Ann, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
You know, you just came from one of the few, I mean, we're talking about sponsors, right? Trying to get sponsors for Heritage and keeping that on the PGA Tour schedule. We're trying to get sponsors to beef up at least our domestic LPGA Tour schedule. It's really rough. And someone, I don't remember whom, but I want to give you credit if it works, came up with the idea that maybe we could do like a duel, co-ed. And I'm not sure I really like the idea of a co-ed event. I would like to see two simultaneously played events, one LPGA, one PGA tour. They obviously have plenty of golf courses in Hilton Head. And why can't they do it? They only follow a certain number of players during the event anyway. You hardly see the whole field. They only do the top. So we could go from the top players on the, you know, on the leaderboard on the LPGA, and then they could show us the top players on... So if one side was boring, you could bring us the other side. Which, aren't I rotten? But sometimes, you know, sometimes the play on one side is a little bit lackluster, so you bring in the other side. Maybe they're having more fun over there. What do you think, Beth Ann?
Well, you know, I don't know that I'd want to see a steady diet of it, but I like the idea of putting the men and women together every once in a while. I mean, I know when I was a kid, I went to the JCPenney Classic. That's the first time I watched Tiger Woods play. His partner was Kelly Keeney. But, you know, I mean, I loved that tournament. I loved when the men and women paired together. I thought it was a lot of fun. What you're talking about is obviously a little bit different, but the men are playing against themselves. But, you know, I think definitely, you know, anything to inject a little bit of excitement. I tell you, I left Mobile, flew out yesterday, and I worried that the gallery just shrunk in half because there were times out there it was just me and the bugs. Where are the people?
Really?
So hopefully they just couldn't take Thursday and Friday off, and they'll be out here this weekend. It was so quiet out there, which was really a switch from the first few tournaments of the year and domestically. You know, they had great crowds out at Kia and out at the Craft, and you know, just hopefully that isn't the case. Hopefully, I left and everyone else showed up.
well, maybe, yeah. Let's hope. Well, maybe the tornadoes put a damper on things in Alabama. You know, you just don't know. But let's ask Bob. What do you think about a co-ed or a dual tournament kind of idea?
Yeah, I don't think that would work at all, Danielle. Number one, it's tough to get spectators to come to one event, and you're not going to have spectators rushing from one golf course to another golf course.
I don't want them to run anywhere.
I hope you didn't stay up too long thinking of this one, Danielle. you better go back into the think tank.
Okay, well, you know, it's just fun. I was just trying to find a way to get sponsors excited about sponsoring the Heritage. Get something going, you know, something snappy and something for the LPGA. It just seems like we have to start thinking a little bit grander or I'm not sure exactly what to do, you know, to keep it alive and keep it going and keep it flourishing. Because there is great golf on the LPGA Tour, and the women really have a good time during the Pro-Am. Somebody actually asked if there's a Pro-Am on the LPGA. Yeah, and they have a whole bunch of fun, you know, playing. So it just seems like we should be able to bring some of that sexiness from the LPGA Tour with sometimes the, you know, the less, you know, when the big players aren't playing or the ones that grab your attention, sometimes the PGA Tour just doesn't quite have the je ne sais quoi going on television, so it's not so much fun. Anyway, I want to ask you, Beth Ann, what happened to Yanni Tseng? She didn't make the cut.
You know, it's funny. Yanni, I was looking at Yanni's scorecard yesterday morning, and she was 10 over par, about to make the turn. You know, she was just playing horribly. And I talked to her after the round, and she had, I think she said, 2-4 putts and 5-3 putts. She just couldn't make a thing. And she said that on the 12th hole, her caddy said to her, why don't we play $10 birdies? And, of course, Yanni loves to bet. And she's like, well, that's not enough money. So so they settle on $50. And Yanni birdies five of the next six holes. Oh. And so now her caddy owes her $250. She's his poor caddy. But, you know, I mean, I got to tell you, she was in a great mood when I talked to her after the round, which Yanni doesn't miss that many cuts. And in the past, when something like, obviously she finished great with the five birdies, but
yeah.
But she seemed to be mentally kind of taking it in stride and just kind of said to herself, you know, midway through the back nine, you know, forget it. You know, I'm just going to have fun and try to finish. And I think that says a lot about where she is mentally. I think she's grown a lot this year.
Yeah, she sure has. Now, Michelle Wee, she also missed the cut with a 76 and a 72. Of course, everybody in Hawaii wants to know, what happened to Michelle?
What happened to Michelle? And you know what? I honestly did not talk with her after the round. I did see her tweet that she was very disappointed in herself and was going to start working, you know, really hard to try and figure it out before the next event. But, you know, Michelle's in class this quarter. Usually she takes this quarter off, but she wanted to graduate and in her timeline, the super senior timeline, and so I'm sure that probably has something to do with it, the fact that she's still grinding in both ways, in the classroom and on the golf course, and that can be mentally draining. She hasn't had the break that she's used to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I figured it's all about the studying. You know, you just don't have time to practice, to work out, to keep yourself, you know, engaged physically, and that's so draining, the focus that's required on the golf course. You know, do 9-18 holes and then do another 18 holes and figure out how you feel after that if you haven't been doing it on a regular basis. It really takes a lot out of you. Kimberly Kim, one of the people that you said keep an eye on, one of the rookies on the tour, of course from Hawaii as well. Why did you pick her out?
Well, you know, I think anyway, it's been around for a while. Kim obviously won the women's amateur at 14. She didn't even know what the women's amateur was when she won it. So she was completely clueless. But all of a sudden, finds herself in all the majors the next year. So the girl has been around forever. She's played in a ton of LPGA events. She has as much natural talent as you'll find, but you know, she also has there's a lot of baggage that comes along with Kim, and she's, you know, gone through a lot personally. And I think that you know, it's the professional world, when you step out into it with no sponsor, she just found a small sponsor recently, but that's a tough one. You know, she's one of the players thinking financially, how many weeks can I afford to be out here? And, you know, where, you know, I need to cash a paycheck, and that adds a lot of stress. So I picked her because Kim can catch lightning in a bottle, because she has a lot of raw talent. It's just a matter of if she can get it mentally together.
Yes, and when she was on the show a couple of weeks ago, she said, I don't have a caddy. You know, that's one of my...
She has a local guy this week, and, you know, I think she just is trying to piece it together.
Yeah, so. And that's what's so hard for all the girls right now, just trying to piece it together. You also chose Jessica Korda, Jennifer Song, Dana Bordner. We haven't heard, we've all heard of Jessica Korda and Jennifer Song, but Dana Korder, I'm not that familiar with. A Kordner.
Right. You know, Dana's actually, I hesitate to say the word old. she's actually just a touch younger than me, but she's by rookie standards, she is old at 30, and I think, you know, she overcame a few injuries to get here. She's played in the Futures Tour. You know, she doesn't really, she's from Indiana, you know, Midwestern girl, great personality, just a really solid person, and you know, she knows what it means to be here because it wasn't just handed to her. She worked really hard to get here, and you know, I think she's also been through a lot personally. She got married a couple of years ago, and really sad story. Her matron of honor, her best friend in college, passed away while she was on her honeymoon.
Oh.
So that absolutely just gutted her. She'd been diagnosed with cancer not too long before the wedding, and that was an emotionally tough year. And so, you know, I mean, everybody has a story. You know, there are reasons why it takes some people longer than others, and she went the traditional route in terms of college, and then the next stage, the Futures Tour, lasted a little longer than she would have liked.
Yeah, you know, and you're so right. Everybody does have a story, and in our world of instant brownies and instant success and instant, nothing's really instant. You know, everybody's worked hard just under the radar, and it's really good to point out that you've got to overcome challenges to get what you want. It's not, nothing is given to you immediately. Bob, are you watching the LPGA Tour?
Well, I certainly keep an eye on it, and you know, along the lines of what you were discussing, it's very difficult, you know, because they have a limited number of events in the United States. They have a good number, you know, worldwide, but the run-of-the-mill player or somebody less than a superstar, the expense involved to go internationally to play in one of those events, and then if you don't make the cut and add up all your expenses, it can be extremely hard, and it does put pressure on more and more players. And I personally would love to see more LPGA events. All we need, you know, I have the solution. I mean,
you do?
No big deal.
Okay.
Certainly I do. All we need is about 10 Nancy Lopez's to come along, and we'd have more LPGA events than you could ever shake a stick at.
So we don't... It seems like we do have the personalities. The Nancy Lopez personalities, we have some out there.
No, we do. They're outstanding young ladies when you get to know them. I don't know them nearly as well as I used to. I did used to follow the LPGA Tour quite extensively. But I think what Beth Ann said, you know, everybody has a story, and that's really the job of the LPGA to get those stories told, and then that brings more fans, and then that brings more sponsors, and higher television ratings. It's a vicious world right now, especially in this economy.
Yes, Beth Ann, you were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, the rest of the world has joined the Nancy Lopez's. I mean, granted, we don't have an American that's winning, you know, a ton of tournaments right now, but you know, it's just that. It's just a totally different lineup of players out there now. When you bring the rest of the world into play, it's harder for an American to get on a roll and win that many tournaments and delight fans, shall we say, you know, with her personalities, because it changes so much every week.
Well, I say we go over to the Dutch, you know, or the English, or any one of the foreign countries that owns like a good percentage of the U.S. now. They've all bought up interests and companies in the United States. And we say, yo, you know, this is something that we really like to do. And since the rest of the world is catching up in golf, why don't you come over and put on an event right here? You be the sponsor. Beg your pardon?
I said, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes. Since you're already, you know, sucking out the profits, put some back. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM 1, Princeville. Well, Bob, thanks so much for being on the show with us this morning. It's always a pleasure trying to solve the problems of golf with you. I'm sorry you didn't like my idea for the LPGA and the, you know.
Well, it basically it stunk, Daniel.
Okay, thanks so much for your.
But I still love you and keep up the good work.
I'm sorry, you know, got to throw these things out. All right, aloha.
Take care.
You
right,
too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Beth Ann, when you talk about what the solutions are to the LPGA's predicament, what do you guys, on the tour, when you're following the tour, what kind of subjects come up?
Solutions? Well, you know, I think it's really important that every week that players, you know, I mean, you got to beat the drum of going to the pro-am parties, of spending quality time there and shaking the hands of all the sponsors. And I don't know that, you know, there are some weeks that are better than others and some players that are better at it than others, but by and large, you know, I think a lot of them still view it as a grind and don't get the importance of that, you know, of thanking the people to pay the bills. And so,
prize.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I'm not talking about inside the ropes during a pro-am. I'm talking about at night, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, you know, on a Thursday, whatever the special event is taking place. You know, take the hour, take the 30 minutes, whatever, to drop by and shake some hands and flash a pretty smile, you know? I mean, I think that's so key to keeping people around, because everybody goes on and on about how great the players are inside the ropes during the pro-ams, you know, but you got to go that extra step now and show up to everything that's on the table.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So important. I mean, whenever we have an event in radio, you always go in and you thank that person. Thank you for being a sponsor. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for having this party. Really appreciate it. It means everything to them. It's like you have a relationship with the people who are supporting you. That's the bottom line. You have to look at it as a huge family. And my other question is, did the former commissioner, Carolyn Bivens, really destroy the relationships of all of these sponsors who pulled out?
I think it varies from sponsor to sponsor. I think Corning, for example, you know, perhaps might still be on the table at some time down the road. It seems like ADT is out of the picture now, which is unfortunate. You know, I really think it varies from sponsor to sponsor. There's no question that she did a lot of damage in a lot of areas, but you know, hopefully some of them are salvageable and Juan can, you know, and I know as soon as he started this job, you know, he immediately went to try to build some of those bridges back. That was, you know, the first thing he did, and he's constantly on the phone talking to sponsors, present ones, past ones, you know, and new players trying to get companies in. I mean, that's the number one issue. I spent a little time actually talking to Heather Ellis, Michelle Ellis. I keep doing that. I went to college with a girl named Heather Ellis. So I always said, poor Michelle. I keep calling her Heather. Anyways, Michelle Ellis, who's been president of the Players for the last several years, I was talking to her a little bit yesterday, and constantly that's what she gets asked. You know, players constantly coming up to her, when are we going to get good news? When are we going to add some domestic events, you know? And she said, hopefully we'll see some surprises for 2012 and confident that we can add something to the schedule. So I hear that word a lot. We have some surprises, you know.
Yes.
I'm still holding my breath.
Yes, oh, that's good. That's good. And speaking of surprises, we had a wonderful, you got a note from Lorena Ochoa about, she's going to have a baby.
She is going to have a baby, which is great to see. And, you know, I mean, I spoke to her when I was in Guadalajara for her tournament in November. We talked about the fact that she and Andres were building a house in Mexico City. They were living in an apartment that they had remodeled that I'm sure was lavish and spectacular. But
yes.
They wanted to have a backyard for maybe. So,
yes.
You know,
wow.
So do the whole picket fence thing. Although they probably won't actually have a picket fence, but but probably barbed wire.
Big concrete wall. Yeah. You know, with concertina wire at the top. Yeah. Keep them out.
with some guards or something, but anyway, so she was thinking that by the summer, you know, that something would be happening. So, and then I saw her at the GWAA banquet. She won one of our Golf Writers for awards, and she was just looking absolutely stunning and skinny as a rail. But I guess that was earlier in April, so I guess that was, she's 8 to 9 weeks now, her brother said, so. I guess she was pregnant when I last saw her.
Yes, she had the glow. She already had the glow.
She was very happy.
Oh, I love talking with you, Beth Ann Baldry from Golf Week. You are wonderful. Thank you so much. We're actually going to take a break and come back and talk to Andrew Gilchrist, who's putting on an event in Mexico right now. It's called Uniting Nations Cup. And what he's trying to do is get more of people in Mexico interested in playing golf. So it's like trying to grow the game down south. And that's
absolutely
really cool.
That's absolutely great.
Yeah. Will you be on again? Will you join me again?
Sure.
Oh, good. And is there anything that you wanted to say that, you know, that you, top of mind?
That I wanted to say? Well,
yeah.
The leaderboard right now is great as Avnet. So I think all of your listeners need to tune in. LPGA comes on here in a little bit. And looks like Leslie Thompson's making a move. And Sandra Gall and Suzanne Patterson and Stacey Lewis.
Yes, and Stacey Lewis. Yes, and that's what I wanted to ask you. I knew if I just asked you, it would come to me. Nobody tells me what Advent is. Advent. What is that? Why don't they tell us what the sponsor does?
Avnet, it has something to do with you're going to put me on the spot here. It's some kind of electronic company. They put all the media stuff on a little thumb drive, and they were like, here, it's very apropos that we have it, you know. So I'm like, well, it must be an electronics company. Kim was actually telling me all about it the other night, and I was half listening.
Well, at least she knew.
She did. I was really impressed. It was like she had been to their conference or something. She was the whole night. I said, what, are you looking for a sponsor, Kim? I'm impressed.
Beth Ann Baldry, Senior Writer for Golf Week. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much. Have a great one.
We'll talk again. Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay and Kauai South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
All right, we're going to Mexico now. Puerto Penasco is where we're going. And this is a Nicholas design course, Jack Nicklaus and Jack Nicklaus Jr. It's actually Jack Nicklaus II. And it's situated on one of the most unique geographical locations in Mexico. The Two-Mile Peninsula, with the tidal estuary on one side, the Sea of Cortez on the other, and an inlet to the south. Andrew Gilchrist, welcome to the show.
Hola, Danielle. Thank you very much for having me on, and I appreciate the time, and what a very nice introduction to the golf course you just made.
Absolutely. It's gorgeous. I was looking online, and it's beautiful. The clubhouse is it's a very unique shape, and it moves right in with the dunes. There's a lot of, I'm not sure how to describe it. It's almost like a links course. But it's so green. We were talking about green. It's really, really beautiful. And you're holding the Uniting Nations Cup, the Uniting Nations Cup there at the course. This is pitting U.S. PGA professionals against PGA professionals from Mexico, right?
Yes. Let me tell you a little bit about the golf course, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the event as well.
Sure.
The golf course is a thing of magic. Mr. Nicholas and his son, Jack Chu, were here in March of 2009 to officially inaugurate the golf course, even though the course had been open for a couple of years already. And while we did a trip around the golf course and looked at the different aspects of the holes, they both mentioned on a variety of occasions that they were just so impressed at how the golf course had grown in, and they had mentioned that it was still one of their favorite projects that the Nicholas Company had ever had the chance to work on.
Wow.
They were offered a spectacular piece of property on which to work. It sits on a peninsula. You've got the Sea of Cortez on one side and the estuary, as you mentioned, on the other. The estuary empties and fills twice a day with the high and low tides.
Wow.
So basically from any hole that you're playing on, you can see water. The nice thing is the water doesn't come into play, but I can tell you that we have no out of bounds on our golf course. So we have 9 holes that play along the ocean, and if your ball happens to go onto the beach, well, you have the privilege of playing golf right off the beach onto the green, so it's quite special.
Yes, it's a very large bunker.
Yes, exactly. So when you look out the clubhouse window, just to give you a nice mental image of what you would see, you basically look down the fairways of 1 and 10, and we have this special grass. We have the paspalum grass, which is a new grass that's been designed to be able to take water that has a high index of salt.
We have it here in Hawaii,
Ah, there you go. Yeah, it has this beautiful, shimmering, emerald green color to it. And then in the background, you have the turquoise blue of the estuary. And then just to cap it off in the horizon, you have like a pastel pink Sonora Desert mountain. So it really is breathtaking. We are located a mere 3.5-hour drive from Phoenix or Tucson, and a 3.5-hour drive also from Yuma. So a lot of the people who I speak to in Arizona, which is obviously our nearest market, say to me, "Well, Andrew, we have some of the finest golf courses in the world. Why would we want to come and play yours?" And I say, quite simply, "Well, because you don't have a single oceanside hole, and I have 9.
That's very good. Now I have to ask you.
Yeah.
I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
Is it there have been travel advisories by the State Department to Americans, right?
Yes.
Is it safe to come to the Peninsula de Cortez?
It is absolutely. I appreciate you asking the question, and obviously it's important to address it. As you know, there are certain border towns that are having some issues, like you have Ciudad Juarez, which is at least a 10-hour drive from here. You've got Nogales, which is a 6-hour drive from here. You have Tijuana, which is another 8 hours drive. I mean, these are big border town cities, whereas Puerto Peñasco is an old fishing village. Basically, if you're driving from Phoenix, most of the drive, I would say 80% of the drive, is within the United States, and you just cross a very small little town, Lukeville, at the border, and you have another 45-minute drive to the resort. So, again, as I say, it's a little old fishing village. It's been a place that people from Arizona, New Mexico, West Texas have visited for years. We have an enormous community of North American retirees and people who have businesses here, or people who come down once every weekend, or you know, every other weekend from Arizona, and all of them say the same thing. You know, it's a real shame that they're lumping Rocky Point or Puerto Peñasco into the whole border city category. So yes, there have been the warnings. However, again, I would like to just mention that, you know, all of these North American tourists and residents that live here sometimes are just a little disappointed, because it's an absolutely beautiful resort. It's extremely safe. And, you know, we would like to try and get the message out that, you know, it's just a shame that we're being lumped in with the other trouble spots along
Got
the
it.
Border.
Gary Picaro, just a minute. Gary Picaro is standing by as well. I just want Gary to know that Positive Coaching Alliance, we've got you. So I need to ask you a couple of questions, Andrew.
Yep.
The first one is the Uniting Nations Cup. How are the players chosen?
Okay, the Uniting Nations Cup is a wonderful idea that we've come up with. It's basically a Ryder Cup being played for the first time between Mexico and the United States.
Ah.
And as the name of the cup says, it's Uniting Nations. What we are trying to do, precisely in this time where there is a little bit of friction and bad press and things like that, is try and bring the countries together. We'd like to make new friendships, and we're using golf as our ambassador.
Hey, so Gary Player started. That was his dream 30 years ago. So what you're doing is, it's like you need to plant a seed and things start to grow and become, and that seems to be the direction a lot of people are going. I think this is a beautiful idea.
Yes, thank you. And the way the players were selected is both PGAs, the PGA of the Southwest Section and the PGA of Mexico, were asked to select players from their organization that they considered would be good ambassadors for their country, for their organization, and for the game of golf. It wasn't based on your ranking or anything. It was people that you know would come down here and they would make an effort to make new friends and participate in the events and really make it, a genuine goodwill event. And then the professionals were then asked to select their four amateurs to come with them based on exactly the same criteria. So we want people that are going to come down here that are really going to make an effort to make the event, it's their event, and it's, you know, they have the responsibility of making it as special as they can. And, you know, what we want to do is we just want to send out a nice message saying, look, you know, we have this great golf course here, we have this fabulous resort, and we are making efforts to bring people together and try and just, you know, make people aware of the fact that if these players are coming down here, they're bringing their wives and things like that. And, you know, just trying to do something positive for everyone, really.
You're growing the game of golf, and we really appreciate it. Andrew Gilchrist, the director of golf, I want to thank you for being on the show. I have to take a break and bring Gary in, but I'd like to talk to you again sometime in the future if you'll be back on.
It would be my pleasure, Danielle. Thank you very much for having us on. And I would look forward to giving you a summary of the results, and we're going to have a winner.
Yes, you are going to have a winner. Let us know. You'll come back and tell us, won't you?
Thank you very much. It will be my pleasure. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results. Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property, guard, and patrol services.
loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. I really like what Beth Ann Baldry was talking about. You know, we can't look at golf as just the U.S. players. It really is the global, and we wanted to globalize golf. We wanted it to spread around the world, bring it to the Olympics. It's the game, and so I'm looking at Andres Romero on the PGA Tour at the TPC Louisiana, and he's moved way up the leaderboard, shooting a 67. We have a Fabian Gomez, a 66 on the leader. He went shot up 33 positions. Of course, Bubba Watson hasn't even teed off yet, and he's the leader, 10 under. But Webb Simpson and John Rollins also moving up the leaderboard. Come on, Bubba. Dean Wilson's doing really good, too. Dean's tied for fourth. We're talking this morning with Gary Vaccaro. Gary, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you? Can you hear me?
Absolutely, yes. Right. Are you on a speakerphone? Or is you
no, I'm not.
Oh, good, because it's always better reception. You have something benefiting the Japan relief effort at Mid-Pacific Country Club, and we should touch on that because it's tomorrow. May Day, a benefit for Japan. If you didn't know this, May Day in Hawaii is Lay Day. Everybody gets together and exchanges goodwill lay, flower lay. And it's just a huge, huge time here in the islands. And What do you have, a shotgun tournament, nine holes?
What it is every actually every Sunday at Mid-Pack we have a little entertainment venue called Kanikapila Sunday at the club which highlights our new lanai venue, which just has beautiful vistas of the Ko'olau's and Olomana, and because it's May Day and because it's May 1st, and it seems like everybody's doing something for benefiting the relief fund for Japan on that day. And we just wanted to get in and make sure that in our small way at Mid-Pacific Country Club that we're able to contribute to the effort. So we're putting on a little nine-hole shotgun tournament, much like we do every first Friday, called on Nine and Dine. But we're adding to it a whole... Yeah, how do you like that, huh?
I like it. Yep.
Every first Friday.
And so you have a the nine-hole event, Hawaiian
nine
buffet.
Hole event, Hawaiian buffet, and then Hawaiian music. We've got, and it's Hawaiian music open to all comers to come, and we got guys that can bring their guitars, bring their ukuleles, ladies that come and dance, guys that come and dance hulas. And it's just a festive event. Although we're only on the regular Sundays, it's maybe we get one or two people, hopefully. And through the grapevine, we got the word out to enough of the people around the club and friends who play music that they'll show up tomorrow and bring their instruments and bring their hula feet. And we'll have a wonderful time. The Kanikapila starts at 5. The shotgun optional tournament starts at 3 o'clock, and then we'll have a wrap. All of the proceeds, dinner and green fees and everything goes to benefit the relief effort for Japan. And also we're going to have a raffle for a 1 week stay up in Tahoe at one of our members' condos. They donated a week stay up in Tahoe.
That's the Royal Aloha Vacation Club at Lake Tahoe. Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's great to see. And I hope Kanikapila is one of the most fun things about Hawaiian culture is when you have a party, you know, the people who happen to have the talent, and, it, you know, in Hawaii, almost everybody can sing, dance, or tell jokes. they're all talented, and people just come up and start playing and singing, and it's wonderful. It's a really, it's one of the most heartfelt experiences that you can have when it's just spontaneous. And it's nice to know that that's happening at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. I love your country club. You have different you have different memberships, right? You don't have to be a golfer to belong, right?
Oh, we have several different types of memberships. We have a social membership, which, you know, a person can come up for dinner or use the athletic facility. We have social golf, which includes a couple rounds of golf and still use all of the amenities of the facility. And then we have legacy members. We have our intermediate for our younger members, business memberships, and as well the proprietary membership, which is the whole nine yards.
The whole nine yards. In this, I learned, I met Gary at the Mid-Pac Open, and, you know, I'll be back at Mid-Pacific Country Club for the Jenny Kay. The women at the Jenny Kay always have a kamikapila at the end of the tournament. It's one of the special parts about the Jenny Kay is all the girls get together and just have a blast. You know, it's girls' night out. They have a party afterwards. But I discovered something called Positive Coaching Alliance. I'd never heard about this before, and I'm reading through the literature about it. You have books for the kids and books for the coaches. It's really to teach parents how to be better coaches.
Actually.
And teaching children.
Yes, it's a great program, and I've been involved with it for almost 3 years now, and being a coach myself for the past 25, it's kind of resonates what I feel is the essence of what we should be doing in the youth sports arena from the ages of 5 all the way up to 18 is promoting the fact that, yes, competition is very important, but teaching the life lessons of sport is just as important in letting kids know that, you know, it is important to understand the sacrifices that you go through when you practice, having respect, integrity, and all of those other life lessons that we learn by playing on a team sport and also playing on an individual sport like golf. So, and there's lots of stuff that's very transferable. TCA has been around since 1998, and we started out at Stanford University, out of the athletic department. And now we're nationwide across the country putting on workshops for coaches, for parents, and for student athletes.
Excellent. You're going to come on the show, and we're going to talk about this alliance. And in the meantime, I'm going to have to wrap up. I really want to thank you for doing what you're doing at the Mid-Pacific Country Club, the May Day Benefit for Japan relief effort. And, you know, just spread the word, Mid-Pacific members. It's happening today. It's only $35, and all proceeds benefit the relief effort. Thank you.
Great. Well, hopefully we see everybody on Sunday. Thank you so much, Danielle, for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gary Picaro, for being on the show. And I want to thank all of these people who make this show possible. Without them, I wouldn't be on. Alakai Mechanical. These are the best minds. Seriously, I depend on them in the building here. The best minds in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal and commercial kitchen design and fabrication. Excellent service, expert knowledge, work and product. 24/7, these guys show up and know what to do. Alakai Mechanical, yes. Star Protection. Get the Star Team on your property. Whether you need protection, you'd like to join the Star Team, call Star Protection. Moon Physical Therapy. Doctor recommended, insurance approved, and whether you have been hurt in a sport or you've been hurt in an accident, a motor vehicle accident, you're recovering from surgery, Moon Physical Therapy. See Julie Moon. And Poipu Bay, call 847, make that 742-8711, 742-8711 for all of their special values and packages at Poipu Bay. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've
have been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.